Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is Viewpoints coming to you from IRIB English Radio.
You're the reason my life's worth living. You're the reason I'm alive. I'd be lost without you. You're the reason that I strive. You're my destiny. You're my revenue.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and you're listening to the program Viewpoints. I'm your host, Mehdi, and we have in our studio here to discuss today's topic, Brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program, Brother Ali.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you.
So, dear listeners, it's always a pleasure to have you listen in to the program. Our discussion today revolves around, you know, the difference between ritual fasting and bodily fasting, sometimes known as intermittent fasting. Of course, you know, Muslims fast in the month of Ramadan, as well as many other religious denominations. And even people without religion seem to fast. It is starting to become a fashion to do fasting, especially prescribed by medical practitioners for the body. So a very relevant topic. Please stay with us on today's program. Brother Ali, so what is the difference between ritual fasting and bodily fasting, if there is any difference?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, what you're calling as ritual fasting is generally referred to as fasting that has been prescribed to the believers by one of the divine religions, or even the non-divine religions. So it's practiced because one's religion requires or recommends this particular act of fasting.
Yes.
That said, the bodily fasting or the intermittent fasting is nothing but a way for some people to do dieting and lose weight, right?
Right.
Now, these two things, once we have the definition squared away, are significantly different.
Right. So one is ritual, meaning prescribed by the religion, and the other one is bodily, which means pretty much is just for health benefits.
Right. When Islam says, you know, you fast, the most important piece of this fast is the intention, the niyah.
Interesting.
Right. The intention and the niyah, it is something that involves one's mind and heart.
Yes.
And soul. Now, something that may apparently look similar to the act of fasting, but there is no ni'ah, or the ni'ah is, or the intention is, the physical benefit only,
right,
then of course there's no reward in the hereafter.
Right.
You did it with the intention of gaining the worldly benefit of fasting, which is just the bodily benefit, and you will receive it.
And isn't it interesting here, Brother Ali, that this intention of fasting is something that really nobody knows other than you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Well, of course, this is where it becomes very interesting, that in Islam, all of the actions are dependent on our intentions.
Yes.
If the intentions are correct, and this is not specific to fasting only, everything. If the intention is correct, then, you know, the philosophy of it is fulfilled and it reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are chances that you're going to get rewarded.
Yes.
But if the intention is the worldly benefit, let it be bodily or otherwise, like for instance, somebody prays to show off.
Yes.
You know, he's not really going to get any benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter.
Right.
He showed off, maybe people will start respecting him. You know,
right.
So that's what he was looking for. He got that.
Right.
Now, that said, you know, when it comes to the practices in Islam, any practice, the intention is of core importance. And that puts us in complete different paradigm when we compare it to fasting for the physical benefits only.
Yes.
Like, there's no reward in the hereafter. So that's the major difference between the two.
So when it comes to this bodily fasting, this ritual fasting has become quite a fashionable thing. You'll find online that there's a lot of references to is intermittent fasting or fasting from certain specific things. I mean, why do you think it's become so popular?
Well, one of the areas is like people are too focused about their health nowadays, and rightly so. You know, one should be concerned about it. But sometimes, you know, people take it to a next level altogether where they turn their physical health and physical bodies and their shape and, you know, everything about their physical appearance, they
right.
turn it into an idol.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, people who are celebrity-like people today, they have, using the media, created a culture where people idealize a certain type of physical appearance.
Yes.
And for that, they know, okay, they need to melt down their body fat, for instance.
Right.
They know that, okay, they need to do certain exercises to give shape to that their body. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with maintaining your physical appearance.
Yes.
But to turn it into an idol and take it to an extreme, it is something that is illogical and condemned.
Right.
When your entire focus is your physical appearance, this is something which is not in line with the teachings of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Physical appearance is important,
yes.
but it's got its limits.
Right.
Extremism, in any case, is not encouraged in Islam.
Yeah, I have about another 2 minutes or so before the break. I think it's interesting that, I mean, for example, people you know, who are poor or underprivileged, these guys, they also, you know, I mean, they're fasting. They don't have food to eat. They don't have sometimes a roof over their head. Do you think this is similar in this situation of the difference between a ritual fasting, which has rewards in the hereafter, and perhaps some poor individual who doesn't have food to eat?
Well, like I said, you know, it goes back to the intention. Somebody whose intention is to do a certain act for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because he has recommended or commanded it,
yes.
then, of course, you know, there's reward and it is an act of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But regardless of the fact if a person has something to eat or does not have anything to eat, if the intention is not there,
right.
if his act is void of that intention, then, of course, that person is not bound to get any rewards.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much, Brother Ali, for the interesting discussion. Let's go ahead, take a quick break. Dear listeners, please stay with us. We will be right back.
رمضان المستبين جاء بالنور المبين مرحبا بالتائبين مرحبا بالعابدين في صلاة الخاشعين في رحاب الذاكرين رمضان 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 القانتين.
And now we invite you to listen to Shaykh Haidar Jafar.
Look at something else whereby this is a month or for an occasion of gratitude where we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah say in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayat number 185? شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Ramadan is the month in which was sent down the Quran as a guide to mankind, also clear signs for guidance and judgment. So every one of you who is present at his home during the month should spend it in fasting. But if anyone is ill or on a journey, the prescribed period should be made up by days later on. Allah intends every facility for you. He does not want to put you to difficulties. He wants you to complete the prescribed period and to glorify him in that he has guided you, and perchance you shall be grateful. The operative words are that you should complete the number of fast and exalt the greatness of Allah for having guided you, and that you may give thanks. So the purpose of Maha Ramadan is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has guided you towards Him. He gives you another opportunity to get closer to Him. And once you get closer to be Him, to be grateful to Him.
إلهي قد تراكمت الذنوب وما زالت بغفلتها القلوب وما زالت بغفلتها القلوب لعفوك يا محب العفو أرجو ومن يرجوك ربي لا يخيب لعفوك يا محب العفو أرجو ومن يرجوك ربي لا يخيب ومن يرجوك ربي لا يخيب إلهي 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 إلهي
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. The program is Viewpoints. Now, we were talking about whether the holy month of Ramadan should just be limited to Ramadan. We had just started to open up the discussion that, of course, no, it should not be limited only to the month of Ramadan. And in fact, it is a practice and a renewal to remain on track during the rest of the year and the rest of our lives. Brother Ali, please go ahead, continue the discussion. For example, what can we do to make sure that we can, you know, have this fasting or the spiritual effects of fasting continue throughout the rest of the year?
So, well, there are many things that can be done. Anybody who is serious about this question and is pursuing this path of ma'rifat and in-depth recognition, they would come up with certain tips and some of the ideas. Here, you know, I can mention a few of them that come to my mind. What can one do to stay in that state where, you know, the spirituality he has or she has attained in the holy month of Ramadan can be a year-long thing,
yes,
right? The first thing I would prescribe to our dear listeners is pay attention to the philosophy of the holy month of Ramadan, right? Stay focused and pay attention to every single prescribed act that you see in the du'as of Ahlul Bayt, in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, and also in the Holy Quran sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at all those prescriptions and think about the philosophy behind it.
Yeah, the reasons behind it.
Yeah, just ask yourself why.
Right.
You know, when it said like, okay, stay hungry, why?
Yes.
Right?
Don't drink water, why? Pray, why? Sure.
So now, you know, all of these questions that were that have been coming to your mind, ask them why, not to challenge them. Because
right.
One of the problems that the youth, they fall into is that they start challenging things. Well, a command is a command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not necessarily always explains why He is commanding us.
Yes.
So don't ask as if you're a rebel. Ask because you want to understand.
Right.
The philosophy behind it, contemplate.
Increase your knowledge,
right?
Yeah.
Do tafakkur, do contemplation. This is important. Once you reach certain conclusions, which are based on, of course, your own ma'rifat and your own understanding of Islam,
yes,
this is going to get you closer to the mission and the reason and the aim and the goal of the holy month of Ramadan.
Sure.
So for every
Makes
practice,
sense.
You know the philosophy. Try to know the philosophy. And don't just rely on your own intellect.
Yes, right.
You know, there are so many pious scholars who have studied at the Hawza. There are so many books written by the senior scholars at the Hawza. Pick up those books. Read them.
Yes.
Try to understand what you're doing it for. Like, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking you to do certain things?
And that knowledge will increase your spirituality as well.
Indeed, right? And it'll give meaning to everything that you're doing. So that's one thing, that if you get that philosophy straight in your head, that philosophy is going to stay in your head and keep you on track for the rest of the year.
So ask why, but don't be challenging about it.
Right. Don't be, sure.
Arrogant or... Because it's interesting, because it seems like Shaitan, he also asked why.
Right, right. There's a difference, right? There's a time
where you're
trying to...
Prophet Ibrahim also asked why.
Ahsan, right?
So very nice.
There's a very huge difference. You know, it's actually 180 degrees contradiction between these two whys. So know why you're asking this why.
Yes.
Right? Have the right reasons to ask this why, which is to increase your knowledge, your understanding, and your psychological state needs to be in sync with your actions.
Yes.
This is the purpose, right?
Yes.
Then also, you know, when you're practicing something, practice with proper understanding.
Right.
Right? Have proper understanding of this act. You know, you now know the philosophy, this is why you're doing it, but then understanding of the implications.
Right.
Of that particular act. You know, try to understand that, try to comprehend that, and that's something that's going to keep you going for the rest of the year till you hit the next Ramadan.
Right.
What the Urafa and the senior scholars of Islam have informed us is that there is a special focus on the repetition of certain acts.
Okay.
So these 30 fasts that we have to keep, or 29 depending on the Islamic month.
Right.
These have to be done every day. You can't just say, I'm going to be keeping one fast and then I'm going to take a day break in the middle and then I'm going to do the second fast and I'm going to take another day.
Yes.
These wajib fastings, there is a repetition in it. Repetition has a special connection with human soul and his subconscious.
Sure.
This repetition, what it gives you is a platform. It gives you a method of making this particular act part of your spiritual existence.
It's almost like practice makes perfect.
Right. It becomes ingrained in your soul. Like,
yeah.
It becomes a habit of your soul. So for instance, when you repeatedly practice patience for like an entire month, right?
Yes.
Chances are that on the 31st day, you're still in that flow.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah, you
now,
are.
Now, if you practice that patience on the 31st day as well, then chances are that you are going to be in the flow for the 32nd day as well.
Right.
So this cycle, if you can see it, this is going to keep going till the end of the year, till you hit the next Ramadan, and then it's time to renew it again, right?
Right.
Refresh it again. So, you know, this repetition and practicing, it makes a man perfect. Right.
Yes.
And this is what we have been prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the daily prayers, you know, the five prayers. One of the philosophies of these five prayers,
yes,
is that it is something that becomes part of your daily life. You
yes.
know, you're repeating this particular act. Right. So similarly, if somebody is taking care of all the do's and don'ts that Allah has prescribed for the holy month of Ramadan, chances are that they can, if they're attentive, they can actually keep going with it for the rest of the year.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Brother Ali, for these very valuable points and taking time out of your schedule to join us on the program. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for being with us on the program. Of course, without you, there is no program. This was Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio. Take what you have learned from the month of Ramadan and move it forwards throughout the rest of the year. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another program, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
فاستبشروا بطلوعه وبصومه وصلاته وبذكره وخشوعه.